Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called My Name is Eve, and I'm a Survivor of the Adam and Eve Project by Trash Tia. Let's get started. I wasn't always a psychopath. Neither was Adam. There were 10 of us. 5 Adams and 5 Eves, handcuffed together in a room with no doors. When I opened my eyes, staring at an unfamiliar ceiling, my name was Eve. I had no other names but Eve. There were 9 bodies spread around me, including a boy, a lump attached to me, curled into a ball. Our real identities were lost, though I could recall small things, tiny splinters still holding on. I saw a dark room filled with twinkling fairy lights, a bookshelf decorated with titles I'd never read, boxes of prescribed medication sticking from an overflowing trash can. The walls were covered in sticky notes and calendars, a chalkboard bearing a countdown to a date that had long since passed. I thought you were going to try this time. Why did you make it so hard? The voice was a ghost in my head. She didn't have a name, barely an identity, but my heart knew her. She existed as a shadow right in the back of my mind, suppressed deep down. With her, I remembered the rain soaking my face and my pounding footsteps through dirt. When I tried to dive deeper inside these splinters, I hit a wall. It should have confused me, angered me, but I couldn't feel anger. There was only a sense of melancholy that I had lost someone close to me. With no proper memories, though, I didn't feel sad. I wasn't the first one awake. There were others, but neither of us spoke. Trapped inside our own minds, drawing my knees to my chest, I wondered what the others were feeling and thinking. Did they have loved ones they couldn't fully remember? I did know one thing. There was something wrong with my body. The bones in my knees cracking when I moved them. Everything felt stiff and wrong, my neck giving a satisfying popping noise when I tipped my head left to right. The room was made of glass. 4 glass walls casting 4 different versions of me. It was like looking into a fun mirror, each variant of me growing progressively more contorted, a monster blinking back. There was a metal thing wrapped around my wrist, and when I tugged it, the lump next to me groaned. I noticed the handcuff, and the lump, when I was half awake, but I thought I was hallucinating. The lump had breath that smelled of garlic coffee, and he snored. Adam, my mind told me. The lump's name was Adam. Everything about me felt new. Like a blank slate, I had no real thoughts or memories. The boy attached to me was different from the others. Adam was dressed in the same bland clothes, but his had color, a single streak of bright red stained his shirt. I found myself poking it and he leaned back, his eyes widening. The red was dry, ingrained into the material, which meant at some point Adam had been bleeding. Not a lot, and he didn't look like he had any wounds. I studied him, or I guess we studied each other. He was a wiry brunette with freckles and 0 flaws, like his face had been airbrushed. This wasn't the natural kind of airbrush. I could see where someone or something had attempted to scrape away his freckles too. The skin of his left cheek a raw pinkish color. I wasn't a stranger to this thing either. I could see where several spots on my face had been surgically removed. The boy glued to my side was an enigma in a room drowned of color. The red on him made him stand out in a sea of white, a mystery I immediately wanted to solve. I couldn't help it. Prodding the guy's face, running my finger down his cheek and stabbing my nail under his nose for signs of bleeding. I was curious, and curiosity didn't belong in the white room full of blank slates. I wondered if the old me looked for that kind of thing. Her bookshelf was full of horror and crime thriller, an entire box set of a detective series my mind wasn't allowed to remember. There was that wall again, this time slamming down firmly on the room with fairy lights. There was too much of me in my fragmented memory, the girl who wasn't Eve. I wasn't fully aware that I was violently prodding at him, until he wafted my hand away. The boy opened his mouth to speak, his eyes narrowing with irritation, before his mind reminded him that irritation did not exist in the white room. I watched the anger in his eyes fizzle out and he frowned at me, adapting the expression of a baby deer. I think he was trying to be angry, trying to yell at me. When I realized he couldn't swear, or didn't know how to swear, he distanced himself from me, turning his back and folding his arms. I got the hint, shuffling away, only for the handcuffs to violently snap us back together. This is a recorded message stated by the United States government on 8/27/2023 regarding the Adam and Eve Project. Please listen carefully. This message will not be repeated. A text-to-speech voice drew my attention to the ceiling, and next to me, Adam let out a quiet hiss. "You've been unconscious for 35 days and 16 hours. Following awakening, it is recommended that you remain where you are." The voice was pre-recorded, but it definitely sounded aimed toward the Adam who was crawling towards a door that looked like a wall, but I could see the subtle glint of a handle. 200 years ago, on April 5th, 2023, NASA announced the discovery of Blue Sky, a potentially hazardous NEO, near-Earth object, was estimated to miss our planet, flying by at just 19,000 miles, or 32,000 kilometers. 200 years ago. The robot's voice wasn't fully registering in my brain. The text-to-speech voice paused, and a screen lit up in front of us displaying Blue Sky, and then flickering to several news screens, CBS, NBC, Fox News, and BBC, all with red banners and panicked-looking presenters. However, during its passing, the Blue Sky asteroid's collision course changed, striking our planet on April 13, 2023, causing global destruction and a mass extinction event. A screen showed us the entirety of the West Coast underwater. New York, London, Seoul, Tokyo, all of them. Either wiped from the map or uninhabitable. "Wait," I wasn't expecting Adam to speak, his voice more of a croak. His eyes widened like he was remembering who he was before Adam. "That's Apophis." He scratched the back of his head. 2029? Adam's random declaration of words and numbers intrigued me. I inclined my head, motioning for him to continue, but he just shot me a look. Adam was a lot better at emotions than me.
"What?
You said something." My own voice was a static whisper. He blinked, narrowing his eyes.
"No, I didn't."
Turning away from the boy, I decided to ignore him and all of his future declarations. I should have been terrified mourning the loss of not just my loved ones, but my entire planet. But I didn't have any memories of the world except the rain and a dark bedroom filled with fairy lights. I could have been a traveler, visiting every country and documenting each one. All of that had been taken away, and yet I couldn't feel sad or betrayed. Why would I mourn a planet I didn't remember? "Please listen carefully," the voice continued. "You have been carefully selected in a choosing process for the Adam and Eve Project, humanity's last chance of survival. 200 years ago, you were cryogenically frozen in an attempt to restart in a new world. Presently for you, the Earth is estimated to be habitable." When the lights flickered off, the screen lit up, displaying exactly what the voice said. A new world, and the bluest sky stretching out across a never-ending horizon. I found myself transfixed, smiling dazedly at brand new oceans and newly formed continents. "We ask this," the message croaked. "On behalf of the President of the United States, will you do what we couldn't? Will you make the new world a better place? Will you fix the mistakes of your predecessors and restart our sick world?" I heard my reply before I was aware of the word in my mouth. "Yes." The screen was brighter, that beautiful blue sky so hard to look away from. "Will you create humans you are proud of?" "Yes."
"Yes."
Adam's murmur followed mine, the others echoing. "Will you be our future hope? Will you destroy every human being who goes against the new Earth and spill blood in the name of Adam and Eve?"
"Yes."
The room flooded with light, and I blinked rapidly, drool seeping down my chin. It was the voice's next words that tore away my mind. "It is with great displeasure, however, that we must inform you there are limited resources in our stockpile." The ceiling opened up, a large ratty bag dropping onto the ground. It was a brand new color, but this time a moldy green. Something snapped in two inside my mind. It didn't belong in the new world. It was poison from our predecessors. I backed away with the others, yanking Adam with me. At first he didn't move. Cross-legged, a smile stretched across his lips. I don't think he noticed the bag. He was starry-eyed, unblinking at the screen still filled with the new world, our new world that was ours to mold into our own. There is no need to panic, the voice said. Consider this bag an artifact of the lost world. There is nothing to fear. Fear. I wasn't sure I knew what that was. Did my old self feel fear running through the rain? Did I feel fear witnessing my planet burn right in front of me? There can only be one Adam and one Eve in the new world, the voice continued. Please choose among yourselves. You have 2 minutes. I didn't experience fear when the tranquility in the white room dissolved. Adam violently pulled me to my feet when an Eve with a blonde bob dove inside the bag and pulled out a gun. She shouldn't have been able to use it. Our memories were gone, our old selves' footprints in the sand, but it was the way her fingers expertly wrapped around the butt that made me think otherwise. The Eve didn't hesitate, and with perfect aim, blew the heads off of 2 Adams and then another Eve. I watched more color splatter and pool and stain the white room, bodies falling like dominoes. When an Eve stepped toward me, my Adam pulled me across the room, dipped into the bag, his fingers wrapped around a machete. He threw me a gun, and another Adam dived for it. Still, no fear. I ducked and grabbed it, my hands working for me, shooting the Adam between the eyes. I realized what we needed to do to survive, but it wasn't fear that made me kill. It was necessary for the new Earth. The words were in my head, suffocating my thoughts. We had limited resources. There was no screaming, no crying, or begging. An Eve knocked me onto my face, but there was no pain. She kicked me in the head, plunging her knife into the back of my leg. Still no pain. Blood stained me, running down my chin. No pain. I didn't think, I just acted. One Adam and Eve left, and they were the hardest to take down. The Eve circled me, eyes narrowed, calculating my every move. Adam and I communicated through nods and head gestures. Adam told me to go for the sandy-haired Adam while he would take a swipe at Eve. I was taken off guard when the Adam surrendered, only to kick me onto my back, knocking Adam off balance too. I thought we were going to die, but my Adam had been following and predicting their every move. Back to back, I reached for my gun, 2 bullets left. I managed to get Eve straight through her left eye. I didn't notice we were the only ones left until the walls were stained red. My hands coated with Adams and Eves, and the final Adam was lying in a stemming pool of blood. I had pieces of skull stuck in my hair, and I was out of breath, but I felt a sense of triumph. There was so much blood, but it was the blood of the old world. Both of us knew that. Adam turned to me, his eyes filled with stars, his skin stained red. I thought he was going to hug me, but his gaze found the screen where our new world awaited us. The two of us were breathless, awaiting the next instructions. But none came. I counted hours, and then a full day. Adam had gotten progressively less appealing the longer I stayed isolated with him. He sat against the wall with his knees to his chest, head of matted curls against the wall, the two of us suffocating in the stink from the slow decomposition around us. The other Adams and Eves were in their first stage, bloating. And how did I know that? 2029, Adam kept muttering to himself over and over again. It was the same number repeatedly. I couldn't feel anger or irritable, but I was confused why he was saying it. Another day went by, and I was starting to feel deeply suppressed hunger start to bleed through. I watched Adam counting to himself, his eyes closed, feet tapping on the floor, and wondered if the new world would accept cannibalism. Adam stared at himself in the fun mirror a lot, making noises with his mouth. I wasn't fully concentrating when he turned to me, blurting, "How big was Apophis again?" To me, his words were alien, and I ignored him. But then he started talking again, spewing random words. "Huntley, diving center, med school, cheese sandwich, man with a bald head." When I told him to stop, he continued, "Fan, cheese sandwich, pretty little liars." He knocked his head against the wall. "Professor Jacobs told me to go, but I didn't want to go. I told him I'd call the cops, and then I'm seeing silver." "Adam," I said, "stop." "Bad news," he whispered. "Very bad news. I'm not allowed to tell anyone." "Adam." I think I was irritated. Adam sighed, closing his eyes. "United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru." His gaze tracked the screen in front of us. "Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador too." "We found them." And Adam's voice, a human voice, ripped me from my slumber. Over here! Thundering footsteps followed, and something in my gut twisted. I stood up, swaying. Adam followed, half-lidded eyes barely finding mine. His expression was new. I think mine was too. Fear. Humans. Before I knew what was happening, I was being grabbed by masked men who were surprisingly gentle. Humans. I didn't know what to say. I asked them how they survived the asteroid impact, and they told me to stay calm. Adam was behind me, his arms pinned behind his back. He was being told to stay calm, but Adam was calm. He may have been nodding along to the human's words, but he was thinking exactly what I was. When Aneve cupped my cheeks and asked if I was okay, my gaze flicked to my discarded gun. Olivia! She was yelling in my face. Sweetie, you're in shock! Can you tell me how many fingers I'm holding up? I nodded dizzily, unable to tear my gaze from my weapon. Five? There could only be one Adam and one Eve. I felt fear for the first time when Adam and I were led through large silver doors and into blinding sunlight. When it faded and my eyes found clarity, I wasn't seeing breathtaking views of mountains and newly formed oceans. Across the road, a woman was walking her dog. A school bus flew past, then an ambulance, a long line of traffic snaking down the road. I could smell Chinese food, my mouth watering. When Adam started screaming, my fear came back, and it was enough to unravel me completely, sending me to my knees. I was still stained in blood, wrapped in a blanket I could barely feel. My mind that had been ripped apart, that had splintered for the good of our humanity, was starting to crumble. Humanity didn't need saving. It only truly hit me when I was standing in the back of a cop car, Adam in the front seat, that I wasn't the last survivor of our species. The Earth was still spinning, still alive in modern day 2023, and I was just Eve. The Eve who sat next to me in the back of the car, gently rubbing my hands, told me my name was Olivia. I was a 24-year-old student, and I'd been missing for 3 years. Adam's name was Kai. He was 23 and a med student. No, we were Adam and Eve. I spent a while in another white room, but this time I wasn't forced to kill people. I was told I'd been through brutal torture I could not remember. I told her that was impossible, and then she calmly showed me my legs and arms. I was covered in burns, old and new bruises, my body sliced open and stitched up. With this abuse, my kidnappers had successfully turned me into a shell of myself. I was asked if I wanted therapy to revisit those memories, but I declined. I was happy being Eve, even if it was just for a little while. I saw Adam several times, but he was never fully conscious, either strapped to a bed, muttering to himself, or cross-legged on the floor, head tipped back. I was 2 months into my treatment when he barged into my room. 2029, Adam said, his words slurring, is when Apophis is going to hit us. I nodded slowly, dropping the book I was reading. My re-education was going well. I was getting my emotions back, which of course included annoyance. It's going to miss us. Think, Adam hissed, pressing his finger to his lips. Gotta be quiet. Shh. Shutting the door painfully slow like he was in a cartoon skit, Adam stumbled over to my bed, prodding at his neck. They stabbed me, he said in a manic giggle. But I'm not stupid. I'm smart. I'm like, so smart, and it's driving me crazy, but now I see it. Adam leaned forward. Apophis, 2029, he said, his breath tickling my cheek, is why we were taken. He burst out laughing. Can't you see it? April, 2029, 19,000 miles, a big lump of space rock going zoom. He stopped laughing, slamming his fist into his palm. Impact. Bang! Adam's eyes widened, his expression crumpling. Help me, he whispered before crumpling into a heap, and then dragged out by several Eves in white. According to them, he was experiencing mild side effects from treatment. Unlike me, Adam chose to get his memories back. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Olivia's mind was too much, too painful. My old life started to seep back in the form of loved ones as I was slowly deconditioned. I stopped referring to boys and girls as Adams and Eves, and was firmly told the new Earth was just fantasy, all of the destruction I saw generated with AI. I have a girlfriend who visited me every day. She said I didn't have to take therapy, but I know she wants me to remember Olivia. Her name is Charlie, and when I was released from the white room, she took me back to our shared house. I have two roommates, Sam and Matt. Both of them kept their distance for a while, especially when I accidentally referred to them as Adams. I'm still getting letters from the facility politely inviting me for a therapy session. I'm ignoring them, but I have started seeing a single black van outside our house. I think my kidnappers are back, and I'm terrified. The facility told me to call them as soon as I see anyone suspicious. I've told Charlie and the guys to hide upstairs, and right now I'm in our living room. It's pitch black outside, but I can see a figure standing directly outside our house. I've turned off all the lights. Every time I blink, I swear they're getting closer. I think whoever wants a new world has come back for me. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you're on YouTube, I'd really appreciate a like or a comment letting me know your thoughts. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. I really do appreciate you. And I appreciate you for listening too. If you'd like to, come join our Discord and say hello. Hang out with what is getting to become a really great community, actually. So I hope you'll stop by and say hello. And with that said, if you'd like to send in your story, head over to storiesaftermidnight.com where you can do just that. Without further ado, we'll see you in the next one.